Omir, you were deeply involved in the discussions between Israel and the Europeans on adequacy. Can you just give us some background?
Yeah, I must say that, we are, of course, very happy with the decision of the Working Party 29. But I think that besides this being a big step for Israel, it's also a big step for the EU because at the end of the day, I think the whole adequacy framework would lose legitimacy if no country was found adequate or, just a handful of countries are found adequate. And I think that at the end of the day, the basic factors when assessing adequacy should always be whether the country that's being examined is a democracy with a strong judicial system and rule of law. Because otherwise you can have statutes that emulate the EU directive, even word for word, but still have no privacy on the ground. And I think in Israel, privacy is a constitutional right. It's applicable both in the public sector against the state and in the private sector. And we have the omnibus data protection statute dating back to 1981. So we thought that as a whole, the framework is adequate, and we are happy that that's what the Working Party decided.
What was the hardest questions to resolve in the discussions with the Europeans?
I think the hard issues, and these are precisely the issues where the Article 29 Working Party showed flexibility, which I think marks a good path for other countries now. First of all, the need to take into account not only the black letter law, but also jurisprudence and court cases. It's very evident in the opinion, and you know that Israel is a common law jurisdiction, so courts have a very important effect on lawmaking. And this came into play with respect to the definition of personal data, for example, which is different in the Privacy Protection Act in Israel than that in the directive, and with respect to the proportionality principle. The other important issue was the independence of the supervisory authority. And I think that the Working Party 29 was open to our argument that you need to put substance over form here, because from a formal perspective, ELITA, the Data Protection Authority, is part of the Ministry of Justice, and yet we thought that from a substantive point of view, it is independent. And I think the final issue, which was a hard issue, was the willingness of the Working Party to finally accept a qualified decision with respect to manual databases, which were carved out. So the adequacy applies only to automated data processing. And this is something new, which to some extent was also accepted in the Canadian decision because it only applies to the private sector. But this is also the case here.
You were twinned with a European agency as part of this give and take and evaluation. Was that a worthwhile process?
Well, the twinning with the Spanish DPA provides a great opportunity for both the Data Protection Authority in Israel and also for the privacy professionals to learn from one of the best established and resourced authorities in the EU. And, of course, we're grateful for all the help that the IPED gave us. But we think that Israeli law is adequate irrespective of the twinning project, so I don't think it had an impact here.
And you have some transition in privacy law taking place in Israel. Did that give the Working Party 29 some pause?
Well, I don't think it was an impediment. As you say, we're in the process of reforming the data protection statute, and we're considering broad legislative reform. However, the approach, our approach throughout the process, the adequacy assessment, was that Israeli law is already adequate. And the main reforms are going to strengthen the data protection regime. So, for example, provide the enforcement agency with stronger enforcement powers, make the definition of personal data more similar to that in the EU directive, and integrate the proportionality principle into the other principles that appear expressly in the statute. But other than that, we thought that the law is already adequate, and the Working Party, of course, agreed with that.
Is there a timetable for enacting the new statute in Israel?
Well, you know, the timetable consists of the legal work, which I consult the Ministry of Justice and Elite on, and then there is a political timetable, because this has to go through the parliament, and that's always a bit unexpected. So we have already brought one part of the reform to the public, a legislative bill for enhancing the enforcement powers of ELITA, and we hope that will pass through Parliament in a couple of months. And then the substantive provisions, which we are going to change, will take place probably later this year.
Omer, could you give us a little bit more insight into the discussions on the independency of the agency? Because the independence in Israel is structured slightly differently than one would traditionally expect in a data protection authority.
Right. So, formally, the Data Protection Authority in Israel is part of the Ministry of Justice. So it's part of the executive branch. But Israeli constitutional and administrative law do not allow for strong enforcement agencies which are located outside the executive branch. So there is really a trade-off here between having strong enforcement powers and being completely independent. Or in other words, under the Israeli system, you can either be independent and then more like an ombudsman with weak enforcement powers, or you can be an enforcement agency with the powers of search and seizure, interrogation, and the ability to impose fines and civil penalties, but then you can't be entirely independent. So you can't be both entirely independent and a strong enforcement agencies. And we thought that the enforcement powers are the more important part of this equation. We argue that the Data Protection Authority has independent decision-making power within the executive branch. So the Minister of Justice and the Director General of the Ministry are not authorized to interfere in any regulatory discretion. The Data Protection Authority is only subject to the top legal officer in the Israeli administration, which is the Attorney General. And in Israel, the Attorney General is a non-political player, He's highly independent. So, for example, the last attorney general indicted an acting prime minister, president, minister of justice, and minister of finance, and all of these high-level officials had to resign. And we thought that the Data Protection Authority showed a track record of independence vis-a-vis the state. So, for example, it took several enforcement actions against the Ministry of Defense, which is very powerful in Israel. So all in all, the argument which was accepted at the end of the day was that from a substantive point of view, the Data Protection Authority is independent, although it is integrated into a government agency.
That's very interesting, Omir. I've had discussions with the Spanish authority about the need to have a dialogue on issues such as independence, because as we bridge privacy around the world, that issue is going to be increasingly difficult and important. And the action on your request for adequacy shows that there's a broadening of thought on that concept. So, again, thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you in Paris next week.
Thank you, Marty.